in the Lord's church today, all throughout the nation.
Also know that there is some religious division taking place.
We also know that somewhere, somehow, throughout the world, there are some people perhaps worshiping the true God, but maybe in the wrong way. But today I just want to share with you that there are some good things going on in the church, but at the same time, you and I should beware of drifting. Amen? We should beware of drifting. When we think about and we concentrate upon the good things that are going on in the Lord's church today, isn't it awesome of what has happened so far today? That just a few moments ago, we were able to do what when Larry was leading us in these songs, we were able to fulfill Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, where the Bible says to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Didn't we do that just a few moments ago? All right. And then we, just a few moments before that, we were involved in partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week. And that's exactly what we're doing here today. It's the first day of the week. It's awesome, sis, that we were able to come here and partake of the Lord's Supper. So don't tell me that there's not some awesome things taking place in the church today. Isn't that about right? A little bit ago, we also bowed our heads in prayer. Luke 18, 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Man, I ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, that's exactly what we were doing a while ago. That is awesome that we can come together, bow our heads in prayer, offering thanksgiving and giving praise to the Lord, and also making sure that He understands and He knows, because we know that He does, but also giving that supplication. Lord, this is what we're asking. This is what we're needing. God knows the need of your heart and He knows the need of mine, but He asks us to request that, doesn't He? In Philippians 4, down in verse 6. We're also sharing God's Word together, as many of you are here this morning, and teaching and also in preaching of God's holy and divine Word. It is absolutely awesome that God has blessed you and me with yet another opportunity to assemble and to worship Him and to do that in spirit and in truth. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, that familiar passage that I hobby horse quite often, where the Bible says that God is spirit and those who worship Him. I don't think we're too excited. So over in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, it's a passage of Scripture that I use quite a bit. I kind of hobby horse this passage of Scripture. But it's an opportunity, it's a blessing that we're able to come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. How does the Bible start out in that verse? God is a, and those who worship Him, very good. So when I think about some of the good that the Lord's church is doing today, when I think about all the different things that the Lord's church is involved in, we need to remember that our work here in the Lord's church is not limited to what takes place at 613 James Avenue. Amen? I can't help but to think about a group called Disaster Relief. Matter of fact, Jerry, you're a part of the Disaster Relief. And I think about the effect that Disaster Relief is having on so many people in their times of distress. Isn't that a great work of the church? Isn't that awesome that we're able to participate? Five people have said yes. I can get you out of here today, but you ain't leaving till I get through. And so let's go back and visit this again. Has anybody in here heard of Disaster Relief? Yes, Disaster Relief is a great thing. I'm going to take my jacket off. We're going to be a while. Oh, yeah, baby. We're going to be a while. If the tie comes off, it's going to be a late one. I'm going to start preaching like D. Barry. You've got about 2:30, quarter to 3. How you like that? All right, Disaster Relief. How many of you have heard Disaster Relief? Confirm it with an amen. Isn't that a great work that is taking place today? Oh, everybody's like, yeah, shut this guy down. All right, so Disaster Relief, listen, the positive effect that that's having on so many people in their distress. I can't help but to think about many of the local congregations there. Was it in Humboldt? Is that where all those floods hit in West Tennessee? Is that where that happened? So I think about Waverly, and I think about all of those churches, all of those local congregations, brothers and sisters, that came together when all that happened out in West Tennessee, and how they opened up, people opened up their homes, the ones that could. People opened up their bank accounts to help these individuals. People were given from different parts of the land, doing all that they can do to help these people come together. Works of the church. Say that with me. Works of the church. So there's some awesome things going on in the church today. Is that right? There are congregations today that is supporting youth events. Isn't that pretty cool? They're in the middle of got youth events and different things that take place. There are congregations today, the Lord's churches, that are supporting and sponsoring senior events. Let me remind you, and I think it's super cool and super awesome that we have our youth that we're concerned about, but let's not forget old people like me too. I need God just like that young person needs God. Amen? I need to grow just like that 15-year-old needs to grow, and you need to grow just like that 15-year-old needs to grow, or 10-year-old. Many times these old preachers get up here and they talk about, well, let's get that youth. Let's make sure the youth. Youth, I love you. I'm glad you're here, but you ain't going to heaven without me. So let's make sure that we understand that even people my age, we still need encouragement, don't we? We all need that. So thank God above that He has a church that He established on the day of Pentecost that supports the youth, that it supports the seniors. I love what I hear about takes place here, that there's a ladies' Bible class. And for whatever reason, I've never been invited. I don't understand anybody. But Jerry and I both want to go, but will they let us go? Darlene shakes her head no every time. But the reality is what? Isn't that an awesome work that takes place? Okay, whoever's doing ladies' Bible class, you're fired because nobody likes it. The reality is that's an awesome work, isn't it? In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, and the Lord, having favor with all of the people, added to the what? Those that are being what? Saved. So do you see again how awesome the Lord's church is? The Lord's church today is involved in many things, and hopefully and prayerfully God is pleased with and He's glorified by what you're doing and by what I'm doing. And hopefully many people are growing as a result. I'm convinced today, brothers and sisters, that we could talk for quite a while. You and I could talk endless about the great things that the church is involved in and the great effect that is having on so many people's lives. Listen, with all these great things that I'm talking about, Chris, with all the good things that are going on, with all that, as you and I would describe, actually, the good stuff that's happening, I want you to remember something, Larry Cochran. The devil is ticked off right now. Do you get that? The devil is mad, Chris, because we met here today, didn't we? And he's upset about it. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be, because you're the walketh about like a seeking whom he may devour. So that word devour means what? Consume, gobble up, eat up. So he's wanting to consume us. He's wanting to consume the church. We better remember, brothers and sisters, and listen to me, we better remember that Satan is at war with God. Amen? He's at war with God. And who are we? We're God's soldiers, aren't we? We're soldiers in the Lord's army, or we should be. So do you think it bothers him to take us down one at a time? No. The devil would love to bring us down. The devil would love to tell you, hey, you're not worth the church. You're not doing your part. You're not doing this and you're not doing that. He wants to create doubt. He wants to create confusion. He wants to make you think that you're not making a difference in the church today. Have you ever felt that way? I have. And at one time or another, Satan was winning in my life. Like, Jerry, why are you doing that? Why are you spending all these hours doing that? Nobody really cares. And then it dawned on me, it doesn't matter if the people care. It matters that God cares. Amen? So we've got to do what God wants us to do. The devil is at war, and brothers and sisters, we are at war. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we better gird ourselves, that we better put on the helmet of salvation, and we better carry the sword of the Spirit. Is that what the Bible tells us? So let's be sure that we understand that the Lord's church, oh, it's got some good stuff happening. Say that with me. It's got some good stuff happening. Once again, there's a lot of awesome things going on and taking place in the Lord's church today. But there's something that I believe that you and I need to be thinking about and considering the fact that there are sadly, many, many Christians that are falling away from the Lord. Many that are leaving the Lord's church, slowly but surely drifting further and further from the shore of salvation. Sadly, some people get so far out in the waters of distress. They get so far out in the waters of the devil that they can never run back. They won't come back. They'll just keep drifting and drifting and drifting. And you know what? That drifting away from the shoreline is not always real fast, is it? Sometimes that's why they call it drifting. It's a slow process. And you can see the shoreline. You know you've got some sin going on. And then we begin to try to justify it within ourselves. Well, God knows I'm weak. God knows that I'm going to try a little harder. I'm going to do a little bit better, and then you might come back to church on that Sunday, and you're back a little bit further, and then we began to get desensitized with sin.
We keep watching movies we shouldn't watch. We keep listening to music that we shouldn't listen to. We associate with people we shouldn't be associated with. Are you getting the picture? I can still, Chris, I still see the shoreline, but what I can't see is where I'm headed, because I'm looking at the shore, but I'm getting more and more in trouble. And Bobby, if I keep on, I'm going out of the door and I'll be away from God. So what we have to do is get back into the picture, don't we? Swim back, Ashley. Get back to the shore of your salvation. Amen?
Amen. So we got to make sure that we're on that. Too many people are falling and drifting and falling away from God. I got people in my own family. Some attended here. Here's what I was told. And I quote, "I have never felt so good in my entire life. I'm so glad that I was able to get into the church. I'm so glad now my marriage is better. My family life is better. It's even improved my financial situation. I've just never felt this good. My desire is not the alcohol anymore. My desire is not the nicotine. My desire is not the drugs. My desire is not this. I've never been this happy in years and years." And then slowly, one of my relatives decides, "I just got to find out if I love y'all more than I love God." I've never understood that statement. Never will understand that statement. But the individual says, "I don't know that I can keep coming to the church because I got to make sure my love for God is stronger than my love for you." Okay, well then keep coming to church and you'll find out. But what happens is there are people that will make excuses, amen? If a person, I'm going to go right back to what Nancy taught me a long time ago, Jerry, people will do what they want to do. That came from Nancy back there. Do you remember that, Nancy? People will do what they want to do. But the sad part is, some of my relatives that are no longer in the church today, you know what they've done, Larry? They drifted and 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 they drifted. Where are they today? Do you see them in the church? Say it loud. Nope. But do we still love them? Yep. Does God still love them? Yep. Does He welcome back the prodigal? Yep. So if you're listening by Facebook, family, or you're listening, whoever it is that has walked away from the Lord's church today, I don't care if you're angry at me. I'd be tickled to death to take your wrath. But if it brings you back to the fold of safety, if it puts you back on the shore of salvation, then praise God for that. Amen? But that's what it's about. People are slowly drifting. And then we have people in the church today. Perhaps their attendance is strong. Maybe they're doing really well inside the building. But outside the building, their heart is far from God. You think that's possible? Maybe the things that come out of our mouth, guilty of all charges, that's not representing Christ Jesus. The words that I use sometimes, I'm ashamed of them. But it's a process, isn't it, that we're going through. We've got to stay close because, man, some of the stuff I say, Lord forbid. Some of the thoughts that we have, Lord forbid, amen. Some of the aggravation, some of the revengeful thoughts that we get, Lord, please help us with it. We are all sinners. Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and fallen of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So let us be reminded that when we feel ourselves and we see ourselves, and there are telltale signs of us when we begin to fall away from the fold of safety. We're going to be looking at that here in just a moment. I believe it's very important that you grab your Bibles or those phone things that you tell me you're looking at your Bible scriptures in, but yet you're creating a grocery list. I'm only serious. All right, book of Hebrew, we had there. The book of Hebrew, chapter 3. You're probably already there, aren't you? Well, good for y'all. So Hebrew chapter 3, we're going to look at Hebrew 4. We're going to look at Hebrew chapter 10. We're going to look at Hebrew chapter 2 before all that. So don't panic. It's not going to take that long. My sister's back there going, "What was that about?" Eric, can you do something with her? He's like, "All right." So listen, as we talk, get ready to approach the book of Hebrew. Do you understand why the book of Hebrew was written? Heather, do you understand why the book of Hebrew was written? Let me share that with you just in case you and Paula don't. It appears that it was written because Christians, listen to me, Christians was right on the very verge, of going back to their old ways of Jewish faith. Do you believe that? They was getting ready to go back to their old ways of Jewish faith. And they was going to abandon, Chris, listen, they was going to abandon their relationship with Jesus Christ. They know, and you and I both know, that we are justified. Our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. Thank you, Ashley. But what was happening, some of these people, when Hebrews was written, was kind of like,
The law says. So Larry, they was kind of easing back to going. They was slowly what? Drifting. Say that with me. They were slowly drifting. So beware of drifting. But they was going back to their old ways, abandoning the relationship they had with Jesus. So let's look at several passages of Scripture that will show this. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All found? Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we say it boldly. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, go to 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So we also hit in verse 4, aren't we? God also being witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to whose own will? His own will. Who's the His? God's own will. Now, if you don't mind, stay in Hebrew. Go with me to chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, look with me at verse 12. Now remember, we're talking, the title of our lesson today is Beware of Drifting, right? Okay, so watch with me in verse 12. Here we go. The Bible says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you what kind of heart? Of what? In departing, finish it, from the living God. So do you see what the Hebrew writer was saying? You better clean your heart up because you are departing from the living God. You are trying to go back to your old Jewish ways, and now that Christ has died on the cross, that no longer applies, does it? It has, the Old Testament has been not abolished, Larry, but fulfilled. Isn't that right? So those passages, those things that we receive has been fulfilled. You ready to go look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11? The Bible says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone, give it to me, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now head over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, look with me at 35 through 39. See, y'all have noticed those key words, falling and drifting. Thank you, Courtney. So falling, drifting, all that. So Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. The Scripture says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for, watch this, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he is coming, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? But if, watch the Bible says, but if anyone, next two words, my soul has how much pleasure in him? None. Now, zero. 39. But if we, watch this, but we are not of those who, two, talking about destruction, but those who believe to the soul saving of the soul, or the saving of the soul. All through the book of Hebrew, you're going to read about faith, especially in Hebrew chapter 11, you'll read about a lot about faith. But right here throughout the book of Hebrew, it seems it's pretty bold about there's too many people that are leaving, trying to go back, trying to slowly drift away from the Lord, going back to try to live under the law. You cannot live under the law and get to heaven, can you? You've got to live under the law of Jesus. You've got to be under the blood of Jesus, under the grace of Jesus, under the love of God. Are you guys getting this or not? All right, so please understand the possibility of drifting away is very real. Paul, man, he was all over the Corinthian church about it because they was thinking they were standing so high. And you think about it, there was some of them were involved, not all of them, but there were people involved in sexual immorality. And they were like, well, that's okay. And they were involved in idol worship. Well, that's all right. And they were involved in all these acts of iniquity. Well, that's okay. You know, we know who God is. We know who Jesus is. Probably that's good enough. What did Paul say to them over in 1 Corinthians 10:12? He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stand finish it up. I mean, be careful, don't you? Be careful. Don't be talking all that smack because you can fall that quick. Is that what he's saying? Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 4, you have became estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be, I think we better slow down and look at this one. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4,
you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempted to be justified by law. If that's what you're thinking is going to forgive you, you have fallen from, thank you, Dana, you have fallen from grace. Folks, by now I'm sure that you agree with me that there is a big chance, a huge chance, that there are many that sadly will fall away, drifting away from the Lord and drifting away from His church. Brothers and sisters, if we neglect, if we want to neglect that of drifting away, if we want to kind of put that behind us, we better be sure we do what Paul told young Timothy to do. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." So listen, please know that there is grave danger, brothers and sisters, in slowly or any type of drifting from the Lord. Let's be aware of drifting. Let's keep drifting away and away from our life. So how can we know? What, again, are some telltale signs that we may be drifting from the truth, drifting from Jesus Christ, drifting from the shore of salvation? Here you are three short points that we can consider. Here's your first one. We can know that we are drifting when we neglect God's holy word. Does that make sense? When we are neglecting God's holy word, we are slowly drifting from God. What do you mean, Brother Jerry? How does that happen? What do you mean neglecting God's holy word? When we take what our relatives say as the truth, as opposed to what God says is the truth, we're neglecting God's holy word. Amen? When we take what Aunt Myrtle Dean says as the truth and not what God says as the truth, we are neglecting God's holy word. When we begin to live by tradition of men and not by the traditions of God, we are neglecting God's holy word. When we will go by anything that somebody says or any phrase or any statement that somebody says that God didn't say, we are neglecting God's holy word. When we look at the laws that Christ has set forth, when we look at the plan of salvation and we go against that or we don't fulfill that or we don't do what God's calling us to do, we are neglecting God's holy word. When you take mankind's word above God's word, you are neglecting God's holy word. Say that with me. You are neglecting God's holy word. Brothers and sisters, I've begged you in the past and I'm begging you today and I'll beg you in the future, Lord willing. Never take my word for it. Always study to investigate those who teach and preach and investigate what the Scripture says, because your soul depends on it. Amen. Your eternity depends on it. Larry said a while ago what I say. I didn't sound right, but you get what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? Hey, I was on that movie. I can't announce that publicly. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? Rush Hour, that's what it was on. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, Larry said what I said, that he said that we said you can't spend eternity anywhere, and that's right, isn't it? Dana gave me $10 for my birthday. She used to give me $20. Don't know what happened on that. But anyway, she gave me $10 for my birthday. She goes, "Don't spend this in one spot." Well, I did. That got one taco. And so I was able to spend the $10, right? Yeah. But Courtney, I can't spend eternity. I'm going to be in eternity forever. I can't spend it. I can't make it expire. I can't make it go away. And if I'm in heaven, I don't want it to ever go away, amen? But if my soul ended up in hell, then I would want very badly for it to go away. But you can't spend eternity. You're going to be there for eternity. So how do we know if we're neglecting God's word? How can we know that? When we spend more time, listen to me, when we spend more time reading literature, reading Facebook, reading the gossip columns than that of the Bible, there's a big chance that we may be neglecting and drifting from God when we neglect His word. Does that sound right? Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with looking at Facebook. There is nothing wrong in reading different magazines, the proper kinds of magazines. Nothing wrong with reading certain material as long as it doesn't bring reproach upon yourself and a reproach upon the church. But when those things, listen to me, when those things take priority and they come before God, then you're wiping out Matthew 6:33, aren't you? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and His, and all these things shall be," thank you, Jerry, "shall be added unto you." Now, if it's all right with everybody, let's go back to the book of Psalm. In the book of Psalm, chapter 119, I hope that we all understand that when we fail to study God's Word, our growth in God, our growth in our faith will begin to cease. Do you agree with that? If we're not studying, then our faith will waver. If we're not studying, then we're slowly drifting away from God. I'm convinced that we should have the same attitude as that great psalmist that we see in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Psalm 19, 1 through 16. Everybody ready? Blessed are the undefiled in his way who walk in the... Blessed are those who keep... who seek him with a whole heart. They are, watch this. They also do no iniquity because they walk in... Say it loud. Thank you. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to do what? Then I would not be ashamed when I took... Look at, listen. When I look into all of your commandments, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, when I do that, watch what verse 8 says. I will keep your... Oh, listen. Do not forsake me utterly. Go to 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? What a great question. Amen, folks? How can a young man cleanse his way, Larry? Listen, here's how. By taking heed according to your word, God's word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Your word, God, it is your word I have hidden in my heart. Why did I do that? That I might not what? Blessed are you, O Lord. And he's asking again, teach me your... With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Go to 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will what? On your... And I will also your ways. Are you noticing what's happening with the psalmist? He is fully submitting, isn't he? Fully submitting to God and wanting to live by that word. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not finish it. I'm not going to forget your word. Why, Dana, am I not going to forget your word? Because I'm going to study it, amen? And I'm going to apply it in my life. Why? Because I don't want to drift away from heaven. I might live to be 101. I might live to be 61. I don't know. But I do know that heaven is a long time, amen? And I want to be there. I also know hell is a long time. I don't want any part of that. I don't want anybody to be part of that. In Psalm 119, if you stay there, 41 through 48, go with me and we'll get through it quick, I promise. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to... So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in... Are y'all getting this? All right, go to 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances, so shall I keep... Give me the next word. And then he said, and I will walk at liberty. I'm going to walk in the freedom you're giving me, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before the kings, and will not be ashamed. 47, is that what the... We're going to go there next. And I will delight myself in what? Now, do the next three words and mean it. I love your commandment. How many of us today love God's word? Confirm it with an amen. Amen. We should love that because by his word we know what we're due to be saved. My hands also, listen, my hands also I will lift up to your what? To your commandments, which I love. And here it is. And I will meditate on your statutes. You remember what your preacher always says. Not only meditate, but also medicate. We need to medicate our sin-sick souls with the word of Almighty God. Amen, Chris, you like that? So meditate upon God's word and medicate upon God's word. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters, isn't it? All right. So we need to be very, very careful about God's word. We need to be certain that we're not adding to it or taking away from it. We have folks in our, some religious friends that do that. In Revelation, the Bible makes it pretty clear. If you add to my word or take away from my word, the plagues that are written in this book shall be added unto you. Do you realize that? All right. If I wasn't so hungry, I'd drag you through Revelation for a while. But y'all got saved because of hunger. All right. So why is it, seriously speaking, as a nation of blessed people that we're not studying more than we are? I mean, I've got reasons. You've got reasons. And guess what else I have? Excuses. And you have excuses.
But why are we not studying God's Word more than we are? Why is it we'll spend more time in front of a screen, whether it be this one or a television screen? Why will we spend more time on something that's never going to lead us to salvation than we do the very book that tells us how to get to that beautiful place called heaven? Why are we doing that? Because we're human and we're full of sin, right? But we shouldn't allow that sin to dictate our lives. We can't allow that sin to go in and take over, because when it does, Satan just won the war, didn't he? Amen? All right. So we understand that one of the telltale tales, if I may, of knowing that we are drifting from the Lord is when we neglect God's holy word. Are we in agreement? The second point is this. We can also know that we're drifting when we neglect God's people. When we neglect God's people, we are then probably, I'm pretty sure, we're falling away from that fold of safety. Does that make any sense to anybody? All right. Heading over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I want to share two verses with you that you're familiar with. But we can know that we're drifting when we neglect God's people. I hope and I pray today that you understand that when you skip the worship services of the Lord, you are not only hurting and neglecting your own salvation, but you are neglecting God's people. Do you understand that? When we skip the worship services, I'm not saying when we have to miss. I'm talking about when we skip. When we blatantly say, I ain't going. When we do that, and God is not first, and the church is not first, that Jesus Christ died for, and you would rather do what you're going to do, land out on the deck or whatever you're doing, I hope and pray you get that right with God. I remember what Stephen and Larry's told me about the last 8 years that I've been serving here. It was 9 degrees one time, Chris, and I didn't come to church because it was 9 degrees. I was freezing. I was cold. I said, I ain't going tonight. Forget it. I could have lied like Ananias and Sapphira, said I was sick or had dinorrhea or whatever I needed to say. But I didn't. I told the truth. I said, it's 9 degrees. And Stephen, to this day, has not let me live that down, and neither is Larry. But they forgave me, right? Liars. Okay. And I never bring up David and Jesus' situation against Stephen anymore. The reality is, brothers and sisters, when we allow things, when we could be here, we choose not to be here, there's a problem. Amen? But my point I want to get to is this. When you neglect your salvation and you skip the service of the Lord, it hurts me. It hurts Jerry. It really hurts Bobby. It tears Tika apart. It messes Rhoda up. You know why it messes us up? Because we get confused. Why do they have to miss? And it's not in a critical sense why a person's having to miss. But we're concerned for their salvation, right? We're concerned for their soul. Sometimes I don't need Larry to tell me, hey, Jerry, how are you? Sometimes I need to hear it from Rob. Sometimes I need to hear it from Calvin. Sometimes I need to hear it from Chris, like, Jerry, you all right? You may be the very person that talked that person off the ledge. Dane, I know I got that from you. That's your saying. But the reality is, did you know that there are people that you may walk up to, Courtney, and say, hey, you look good today. How are you? Courtney's got a way of hitting you on the shoulder. Hey, good to see you. And you feel good about it. Chris has a good way of that. We got people in the back there, Margaret and Nancy. People in the back that'll say, hey, it's really good to see you. It's really good to be here with you today. And it is good to be with each other today. Amen? And when Stephen misses, it may have been that I needed Stephen that very day, because Stephen's the only one that understands this one particular thing that I'm going through. So whenever Heather's not here to help me get through this particular situation because she skipped the service, she's not only hurting herself, but is she hurting me as well? They're all scared of you, Heather. Is she hurting me as well? Yeah, now look at him like, Jerry, you better get us out of here alive. The reality is what the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 24, 25. The Bible says, and let us consider... Okay, congregation, we're in the book of Hebrew. We're in chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 24, 25. Are y'all willing to share that with me? All right, that's better. The Bible says, and let us consider in order to stir up love and good works. Well, if you're not here to help me consider and stir up the good works, then we're suffering. Amen? Amen? All right, and then go to 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see. You know this day's coming. Plan for it. When there's a big event coming, do you plan for it? When there's a grill out at the house, do you plan for it? Then shouldn't we be planning for the Lord's Day?
All right, you getting it or not?
In the book of Psalm, chapter 122, verse 1, the psalmist says, "Oh, I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Folks, listen, you are indeed needed in the Lord's church. Do you get that? Every single person assembled here, you are needed. You're needed in our worship service. You are needed in that of lifting up the brother or sister that is down and out. You are the one that is needed to shake hands with the person that might be at wit's end. Have you ever felt at wit's end in your life? Like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Have you ever been there? But somebody helped you, didn't they? Because you're here today. Somebody extended their hand of love and concern, didn't they? So when you skip the services of the Lord, you're also neglecting God's people. And when we're neglecting God's people, we're neglecting our brothers and sisters, aren't we? And when we are neglecting our brothers and sisters, says that means that we are slowly doing what? Drifting away from the shore of salvation. If you're in agreement with that, say amen. All right. The third and final point. This lesson's going with you. We can know that we're drifting, brothers and sisters. Listen, when we neglect godly priorities. When we neglect our godly priorities, we are, I promise you, we are drifting. Do y'all believe that? In the book of Matthew chapter 10, that's waiting on everybody. Matthew chapter 10. I need to get to Matthew, I'm in Mark. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to be looking here at verses 37 through 39. But your third point, we can know that we're drifting when we neglect godly priorities. Listen, when we allow worldly activities, when we allow worldly events to take priority over God and His church, you better check and see if you're still sitting in the same spot or if you're drifting. We as born-again Christians, we as children of the Most High God, we must always put God first and foremost above everyone and everything. Amen? Nobody, as much as I love folks in the congregation and like the other folks in the congregation, there can be no one, nobody, absolutely nobody that gets in the way of my love for God. Amen? Husband, wife, father, daughter, brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew. Are we getting it? Okay. Look what the Bible says about that in Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Whoever loves or more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is. Come on, congregation, 38. I'll get you out in a minute. Help me. And he who does not, watch this, take his cross and follow me is, thank y'all. Go to 39. He who finds his life will what? And he who loses his life for my sake, the Bible says you will. Thank you, Brother Bobby. I know that sometimes you get tired and you're like, man, I wish you'd quit making us engage. But the reason I do that is because I want to make sure you're seeing it from the Scripture. That it's not from Jerry, it's from God. Amen? Okay. All right, now, let's go and now consider Matthew 6:33 again. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His, all these things shall be. All right, so listen to me. Our ambition today should be heaven. Amen? Heaven should be our ambition. Secondly, it should be taking as many people to heaven as we possibly can. The first thing, God is first above anybody, anything, period. Secondly, what can I do to take as many people to heaven with me? That should be our priority. Larry, do you agree with that? How many people can I take to heaven with me? Who are we emulating when we do that? Jesus Christ. Amen. He held out his arms. He said what? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He could have said, okay, he could have called a bunch of angels and said, take me off his cross. He could have called a garrison of angels, couldn't he? He could have called a plethora of people, a lot of people, said, get me off the cross. And I'm killing that one with a beard. And I'm going to slice this dude. Jerry, you ain't seen a karate until you see this one. But he didn't do that, did he? Stretched out his arm, Stephen, and he said, Father, forgive them. Let me say this as we get ready to close. You got some more Bible reads, and I'll let you read those a little later because I want to get you out of here. But our ambition, brothers and sisters, should be heaven above everything and anyone. You and I should be longing for that prepared place for prepared people. And you can consider Philippians 3, 8 through 21 later today. And now then I want you to look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. But let me get ready. I got to get you out. Listen to me. If the very thought of heaven doesn't thrill you anymore, I promise you, you have drifted. If the thought of hell doesn't scare you to death anymore, I promise you, you've drifted. Amen. When I think about heaven, and you answer this to yourself, don't answer it to me. When you think about heaven and you read about the beauty of heaven, does it give you chill bumps? Does it send chill bumps down your back? And you're thinking that no matter what I'm up against, no matter how high this mountain is, no matter how thick that door is, no matter how rough this valley may be, that no matter what happens, even if my life is required, I've got a beautiful, prepared place that God is preparing for me. Amen? In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it in myself, that where I am, there you will be. Next word. Also, very good. So does the thought of heaven thrill you as it once did? Does the thought of heaven still give you, Darlene, those chill bumps? Does the thought of heaven just lift you up and remind you of just how great God really is? Does the thought of hell grab your attention? Does the thought of hell get your attention and say, Jerry, lad, you know better. Jerry Sr., you don't talk like that if you're a representative of God. Jerry Sr., you don't have those thoughts if you're one of my ambassadors. Jerry Ladd Sr., you better straighten it out if you're going to be in this prepared place for prepared people. Are y'all getting the picture? By the way, it's just not the preacher only. That's all of us. Amen. So let me just bring it back as we close. We are at salvation shore. Amen. We're there. If that shore gets more and more distant, I know this was a silly walk while ago, but if that shore is getting further away, the shore's not moving. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He came back. His father received him. You can come back today. God will receive you. So I just wanted to close. I want to close the lesson right now and let you know that today, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter who you've seen, no matter what you've done, no matter what you looked at, no matter what you've heard, it can all go away today and things can be made right in your relationship with him. Today, if you're not a Christian, I have no clue what you're waiting on. You need to hear God's word. That's what the Bible says. You must believe, must repent, must confess, must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, live faithful unto and into this death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, maybe today is the day of restoration. Man, I'm a Christian, but I've been toying, I've been playing with God, I've been playing church, air quotes, I've been playing church, you know, I do this, I do that, but I just don't live like I'm supposed to out of the doors. Man, you're not by yourself. I stand before you constantly petitioning the prayers of the congregation, asking God for forgiveness. But if today is a restoration in your life and you need anything at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand and we sing.